Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today I am on a solo flight because my co-host Martin McMahon is actually, it's World Whistleblower Day, and Martin is down on at the Dáil handing in a letter and on behalf of himself and several other whistleblowers, asking the Irish state to do more for whistleblowers and for the plight that they have. So best of luck, Martin, and we are delighted that we continue to cover the whistleblower aspect. In fact, there is a short podcast that Martin recorded himself with a couple other whistleblowers in Ireland and in the UK, and that's in your feeds now. So I recommend go check it out. And you know, we don't do a great job of supporting people who put their heads above the parapet in this country. Speaking of people who put their heads above the parapet, I'm delighted to be joined by Jerry Loftus, who is he's an advocate for agriculture, rural Ireland, for over 10 years. He's a founder of Rural Ireland Organization, and he's one of the people who's putting on a protest slash I would put it raising awareness event this weekend, or this Friday, out again in Dublin. Jerry, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
Jerry, look, you might just give the listeners a quick outline of, first of all, who you are and what the Rural Ireland Organisation is about.
Yeah, well, my name is Jerry Loftus, as you said. I'm from the west of Ireland, County Mayo. I got involved in community representation and things for quite some time, but about 10 years ago, I got involved in agricultural representation because of the plight of the small farmer and because of the plight of rural Ireland. And later down, I was a candidate in the local elections here in Mayo, and I was also a candidate in the general election last time around. We didn't set up an organization called Ireland Future, and recently we changed the name from that to the Rural Ireland Organization because we feel that, you know, Rural Ireland has been left way, way, way behind. It has a critical role to play in both in how our country runs and works and so on, and it has a critical role to play in the very serious challenge of climate change and all that type of thing. And we feel that, you know, the smaller farmers in the west of Ireland and indeed across rural Ireland are totally being left behind, which as a result of that is having a massive effect on our towns, on our villages, on our way of life. And we feel that we have come to a stage now where the talking, you know, there's a lot of talking has been done and a lot of promises have been made by politicians, etc. And, you know, nothing has come to the fore. And we're having this protest on Friday. We're meeting up with a number of other like-minded organizations in Dublin outside the Department of Agriculture offices at 1 o'clock to highlight, you know, where we feel is being grave injustices are being done. And we hope that this may be the start of a people's movement to get fairness right across the divide, because we have a country that has been, and politicians who are hell-bent on supporting the corporate way of life. You know, it's all right for corporations to make billions and millions, but the people on the ground are struggling. While they might have a week's wages, they don't have any surplus money, a lot of them. And that is going to get even more tighter and more stricter and more harder to live as, you know, they put the boot in going forward as regards all the money that has been borrowed now for COVID. And we're running a national debt of 250 billion. It's very hard to believe that we're at that stage when we started before the bank bailout in 2008, our national debt was about 25 billion. We borrowed 64 to bail out the banks. And when the Fine Gael government of 2011 went into power, we owed roughly around 100 billion. When they came out, we owed 220. And now we're up at 250. And that is a massive burden on our financial services and state of the country. It's a massive burden on our taxpayers, and it'll be a massive burden on the ordinary working person going forward. You know, because this money will have to be clawed back. That's all been paid out for COVID time.
Jerry, I just, you've said a lot there, and I'm very interested in several of the points. But I want to go in on the idea of the idea of fairness. So particularly around something like, say, the CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy. I mean, I've seen you in action. The video of you online talking about the fact that, you know, it's a 20-80 rule, but the 20-80 rule is very, you just refer to corporates, but it very much in big agriculture, you've 80% of the money going to 20% of the farmers. Is that the type of thing that this protest is to try and highlight and you know, perhaps show people that there's the small farmer or the traditional farmer that person is not actually benefiting from the policy and the money that we're all told, you know, that is washing around in the EU?
Yeah, you'd be correct in saying that, since the cap was set out as a subsidy on food, a cheap food policy. But we decoupled from that in 2004, and they added pillar two to the cap. Now there's two pillars, where in pillar two, the environmental schemes and different other schemes come out of that. The basic payment, or it used to be called the single farm payment, first of all, now it's the basic income support for sustainability, and that comes out of pillar one. And they set that out. That started with under a Fianna Fáil government and Mary Coughlan as Minister for Agriculture, and strong lobby from the main farming organisations back in the cap of 2004-05, where that started. 80% of the money going to 20% of the farmers. And that has absolutely ridiculed rural Ireland. While you had some farmers on payments of 400,000 plus and 300,000 and 200,000, you have 55,000 farmers on a payment of 5,000 euros or less. You have another 10,000 farmers on a payment of 34,000 or less. And that's 70,000 farmers.
Just going to stop the podcast there. And this is it. We're looking for more patrons. So this is the money shout. Now, if you're getting, if you're already a patron, you're getting this podcast without an advert, which is great. Patrons don't like the adverts. And that's one of the big advantages. The other advantages, Tony, is the range of podcasts at the moment. It's massive.
Yeah. So I think it was 16 podcasts last week from everything across the network, on all in one feed. So you don't need like various feeds. You don't need to subscribe to all the different podcasts. You get it in one feed. You get your notifications as they go out. And I mean that, as they go out. Martin, I think if you said just what went out on the Tortoise Shack, you know, there's probably the guts of maybe 10 episodes, but the 16 went out to patrons. So that's a lot of exclusive content as well. And we don't mean to make it just exclusive. It's just that it just so happens that these things come out and they're timely. So we get them out into the time to the patrons as they are. But you're right. We actually only ask because we need you. We need the support. And a platform like this is still no ads, still sponsor free, but it needs people to put their hands in their pockets. And, you know, we know thousands of you are listening. So it's a price for a cup of coffee, a fancy cup of coffee to you, but it really makes all the difference to us. And it's just patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Just have a look. That's all I'm asking you to do. Go and have a look. We don't even remember, we used to have to ask people to leave reviews to your podcast. We don't do that anymore. We ask you to try and go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack and see if there's something there that you think you're happy to support us at.
We're going to let you go back to your podcast now. Thanks for listening.
You have another 10,000 farmers on a payment of 34,000 or less, and that's 70,000 farmers. Now, as a result of that, the family farm, as we'd call it, and the way it used to be, all these people and all these farmers have been left behind. The problem we have now, or one of many problems we have now, is the younger people who came along. The original way would be, or the traditional way would be, that, you know, there'd be bigger families going back the years under there now, the 5, 6, 7 or whatever, and some person would always stay on the land. You know, some person would like to do that, so they'd stay home and they'd farm the land. But as we've gone on in years, and the low income, there's nobody of the younger generation staying back. And now we have the average profile of farmers, the average age is about 57 years. We have more and more farmland becoming abandoned, and we have more and more people not staying in rural Ireland. And all this has led to a massive decline in rural areas. While on the other side of the divide, we have gone away from our traditional way of the family farm, where you produce vegetables. The first thing I believe to be called a family farmer, or a genuine farmer, or whatever you want to call it, they're looking for a definition of a genuine farmer now in Brussels. But my belief in that would be that the first thing anybody that owns land should be doing is producing enough food to feed the family, number one. And that's the way it was always done. And the surplus was sold on. And if you look at some of the countries in the EU, like, for example, Perth of Poland, if you visit Perth of Poland, you won't see anybody cutting the front lawn with a lawnmower. You know, all these little plots they have around the houses, they're all growing their own vegetables and their own potatoes, etc., and whatever. And we have gone right away from that here. Now, the taxpayers and the general public in this country needs to know exactly what's going on, because we've gone down the road now of these massive payments to farmers. We have developed the other side of the coin, which is dairy, the dairy industry, and I have nothing against any dairy farmer whatsoever. But this is the road that an advisor service called Chagas, a politician, especially in the Kenyan Simon Coveney, who was in power at the time when they removed the quotas on milk. You were only allowed to produce a certain amount. They removed that in 2015. And we've gone down this massive road of all this dairy expansion, and we have increased the dairy herd by 31% since about 2014. And what that has led to is the other side of the coin dying out and dying away. And while we talk and we hear Borbia talking about the amount of exports that we produce from agriculture and all the food we produce, we don't produce any food. We produce beef, pork, and sheep meat. That's it. 90% of the land is under livestock. So on the as against that, we're a net importer of food the year 2000. So the taxpayers of this country they're caught on all sides now, the general public. Number one, they're caught to fund, as they had no problem doing up to now, which every taxpayer pays 30 cents per day to fund that. And if you do the maths, it equates to 770 euros over the 7 years of cap. So every taxpayer is paying 770 euros into this pot of money, which they have no say over or never has had the opportunity. They're then caught on the cost of food imports, is the second thing. And now they're going to be caught on massive fines that's going to come between 2020 and 2030. Because we have failed miserably on climate change and to come to make any progress on our greenhouse gas emissions. We're second from the bottom of the pile in Europe. There's only Poland below us. We have ignored climate change and ignored all of this. The first real meeting of this took place on the 10th or the 8th, 7th of December 1997, which was the Kyoto Protocol. That's 24 years ago. Now, 192 countries came together at that conference, and they decided they would put targets in place to try and reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. And they put them targets in place based on 2005 levels. Ireland picked to be 1 million tonnes below what we were producing by 2020, and it started that. We were 2 million when 2020 came. We're 2 million tons or so above. Mm. We're miles off our targets. Scotland,
we've been climate laggards for a long time. But I'm interested in the agricultural aspect of this, because you know the intensive type of farming that you're talking about versus the more diverse, you know, smaller farmer food sustainability, and actually being able to have our own like that. We spoke to the guys in Kolov as well, talking about, you know, the need for that kind of almost having a basic income for the small farmers, so they can actually deliver the vegetables, the food, and do it in a more sustainable manner. The organizations that are also joining you on Friday, I believe it's Extinction Rebellion as well, and some of the other groups. So it's very much not just agriculture. It's about the biodiversity. It's about sustainable agriculture versus the large for export market that you're referring to. How has that seems like an alliance that a few years ago wouldn't have been possible, Jerry.
Well, yeah, I'd agree with you, John. It wouldn't have been possible a few years ago because we did a lot of. I was one of the first people in the west of Ireland to start doing radio entries on climate change, and you know, I got it from farmers like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I was like, "Why are you on about climate change?" You know, and what my word back to them, or my answer used to be at that time, was, "Wait until the next Common Agricultural Policy comes round, and you will get your answer there." And that is correct. That's exactly what has happened. But yeah, this alliance the next day, hopefully, because look, the general public, Tony, needs to get the information. And we need, as you already said, we need sustainable food production, and we have to get on and do it. As I said to you already about all this food, for example, last year or 2 years ago, we imported 73,000 tons of potatoes, for example, 50,000 tons of chipped potatoes. And all the other vegetables, say carrots, parsnips, onions, all that, they all came in at around 40,000 tons. That's what we imported into this country. Now, there's a number of factors around that. For example, there's a prediction there that by the middle of this century, that about 30% of the land in the EU will become sort of like desert because of drought, etc. So where is this food going to be grown if we don't start making inroads into this here at home? The other big thing for me about it is if you look at our health system, our food production is overloading our health system because we have so many different types of diseases coming on board. And even the coronavirus and all the other SARS and all them type of things, they were diseases that was related to animals and jumped from animals to humans, etc., and all of that type of thing. So we are producing or importing a lot of this food, genetically modified, chemical sprayed from these countries. And if you look at one of the main problems of which is, you know, been clearly identified as related to cancer, which is and antimicrobial resistance, which is Roundup. Now, Roundup, when it was patented, the main ingredient in it is glyphosate. Glyphosate was patented as an antibiotic. So when you eat this food that has been, you know, sprayed with Roundup and this stuff, then you're intaking antibiotics into your system. Now we have a situation where millions of people are going to die, especially antibiotics. Why? I have the answer to this now, but especially hip replacements. That when you're treated or you get antibiotics after having hip replacements, you won't react. And that'll happen with other diseases as well. And there's a much more, you know, the way we, if you go back in years where they used to cure the bacon, it was naturally cured with salt. If you look at all the other, how we feed our animals today, it's incredible. It's just crazy that we import about 343 million tons of soya and maize from South American countries. And 1,000 tons, I should say, from, and, you know, we're feeding this stuff to pigs, to poultry, to cattle and sheep, etc. And this type of stuff is getting, it's getting into the food chain.
Yeah.
It's affecting our health. It's creating massive health problems. And we'll continue to do it. Like, we have 900,000 people on waiting list now at the moment. And we believe that if we were producing that, we would be in a much different situation. We have no doubt about that. And if we're gone down the road of this, because we have, you know, this massive production of beef here, massive production of dairy products, corporations making millions, and it's the whole lot is we're on a totally road to collapse in Irish agriculture, as well as our problems with, you know, the climate change emissions. So food production for us, and in this organization, and indeed many of the organizations that will be there tomorrow are on Friday, we must get around to the way of producing proper food, chemical free, and that is healthy. Not any sort of junk that we buy off the shelf because it's cheap. That is completely the wrong approach. The cheap stuff is causing massive health problems, it's imported stuff, and something must be done about that in our view.
Jerry, I think, I'm not in the way listening to you talk about the sustainability. And I'm reminded of when Simon Coveney was the Minister for Agriculture boasting that we would produce enough food to feed 60 million people on an island of 6 million. And yet we don't have food stability here, and we have 900,000 people in 2019 experiencing some form of enforced deprivation. So that could mean, you know, going without food, going without new clothes, going with all of those things, which points to an unhealthy inequality in our society. And I do think you make a really good point. Friday, what time? Where can people find out, and what do they have to do?
Well, look, we'll be outside the Department of Agriculture offices at 1 o'clock. It's on a number of social media channels and been advertised on papers, been on radio stations, etc. And we've spent an hour or two there to see how the thing goes. And the main purpose of this is, you know, to start raising awareness among the general public, in our taxpayers, in everybody, right across the cities. This is not just a rural or a country issue. This is an Ireland issue, Tony. And the people that fund the Common Agricultural Policy, it's time they had their say, and it's time they had their say on what they put into their mouths every day of the week. And it's also time that they had their say on, you know, what the dairy expansion has done through our emissions and our targets and the fines that the general public would have to pay, while at the same time, Ireland is only a number of days, you know, of away from food shortages. Like, we were, there's a lot of people very worried at the start of coronavirus, you know, would this affect the growers in Holland and different places that we import food from? Was it going to be a problem? Now, how do we know that the next pandemic, if it, God forbid, it doesn't come, but if it does come, like, is it going to be 10 times worse? Is it going to affect imports into this country of food? And if a war starts, if this starts, if that starts, and allowing to, besides all that, a drought in these countries, which is very, very possible now, it can happen at any given time. And we're here out on a limb, and we have absolutely no food in this country. No way sustainable, no way food secure. And the general public, that's why we're appealing to them now. We're appealing for everybody to get in behind this campaign and let's change the way we do things in this country for the common good and for the good of rural Ireland and for urban Ireland, rather than putting millions and millions into the pockets of corporations and people.
Gerry Loftus of the Rural Ireland Organisation, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I really appreciate it, and the best of luck with the campaign. We will have the links to the event on this podcast, guys. So if you're listening to this, you just have to click on the link and you'll be able to find it on the social media channels. We will talk to you all very soon. We've another pod coming in a couple of hours with back on housing and the crisis that's going on there. Rory is back on housing. We will talk to you all very soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.